Now, from generation to generation, God's command has not changed. God has told us what we need to do. And each generation is being reminded, thus saith the Lord. So, God creates man. Man messes it up. As a matter of fact, man been messing up ever since man. Man messes up. God sends a flood. God handpicks Noah. Noah, build an ark. Big boat, Noah. I want a big boat. 120 years he built on that ark. He heard the jeering. Everyone said he was crazy. Until the day came when for the first time ever since creation, rain was falling from the heavens. Never been witnessed before. Well, that's a first. God rained down on earth. But then the scripture says that God had Noah and his family go into the ark. God's ark. God told him to build. And then the scripture says, and God shut the door. God shut the door. Come into my ark, Noah. Bring your family. You see, Noah was the righteous one. His family wasn't. Noah was the righteous one. And God chose him. Says, now, get your family in my ark. My ark, my covenant, and God shuts the door. Once God shuts the door, no man can open that door. That door can never be opened. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, God shut the door and I'm in. You're in. Therefore, what am I going to do now that I'm in? Well, I want you to go out in the world and I want you to play. I didn't read that. I lived it. When we fall in love with the world more than we love the loving arms of a Savior who says, I've got a job for you to do, Larry. You need to be about my business. I'll take care of your business. You be about mine. I'll take care of your family. I'll even take care of your church that I sent you to. But I want you to tell the truth and to preach my word and to let them know something. There's no difference in this generation than any other generation. Oh, can you believe these kids are going to... Listen, the only hope I have for America is in our children. We got a great group of kids coming up. It's not the kids that I have trouble with. The adults. I'm going to stick with the kids. Thank you. Because I've watched what adults have done from generation to generation. It's history. It's current. It's future. Nothing seems to change except for the names. Sins are the same. Names are different. Words similar. Names are different. So God says to Noah, okay, Noah, here's the command. It's a generational command, meaning from generation to generation to generation, I'm giving you my command. I want you to be about my business. Listen to Genesis 9, verses 1 and 2. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Then Jesus comes along, another generation. All the generations in between. The beginning of the end of the age comes with Jesus. And you know what Jesus says? Same thing. Listen, Mark 16, verse 15. You and I need to understand that as a Christian, you and I are the offspring of Jesus. We are his children. We are his family. And so Jesus comes along, and what does he tell us to do? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. I want you to go to the world, but I want you to preach the good news, the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And he said, I want you to go throughout the whole world. No, I want you to go throughout the whole world. Multiply. And everybody needs to get away from family and go create families throughout the world. Man doesn't like change. We don't like breaking our traditions, even if God does tell us to go ye into all the world. Yeah, but he didn't really mean it that way. God really said something that he didn't mean? Do you really believe that? Said, I want you to go out into the world. I want this world to understand I am God. Generations started following. And as those generations followed, man became more sinful, more deceitful, until finally, at a place called Babel, listen to the sin of man's generation, pride. Now what'd God tell him to do? What'd Jesus say to do? Jesus said, I want you to go out. I want you to preach throughout all the world. Go to the, take it to the world. We do right here from Vine Grove Baptist Church. Right here in Podunk, Vine Grove, we're in 130 countries. Now that can only happen by God. But listen, Genesis 11, 1 through 4. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Why, everybody spoke the same language. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, now listen to what man's doing, deciding to change God's plan. That doesn't work. Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone. Now let me stop there. I want you to learn something. Man says, look, we're going to build for ourselves a monument. We're tired of moving. I know that was God of the old time saying that we need to go, but now look, we need to build us a tower. And Moses is saying, pay attention here. They used brick instead of stone. They had plans to do what? Socialize? Yep. Communize? Yep. Let us make each brick the same. Cookie cutter brick. God said stone is much stronger, and each stone is unique. Each stone has such strength that it can lift another stone, and yet each stone's a different size, has a different crack, a different blemish, a different purpose, a different beauty mark. But no, they chose to use brick where they could control how it would go. You see, here's the trouble with folks. So often, we want to be a part of God's family, but we want God's family to do what we think they ought to do instead of what they feel God leads them to do. We want everyone, you know, sort of, I want you to be a cookie cutter Christian. Oh, I guess I got to use your cookie cutter, right? We'll make our brick. And listen, they use brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. The mortar that was made in Egypt during slavery with the straw and all of this, you know, where they in the mud pits and mash it down, and then that straw will rot inside as they glaze, and the strength that was there, they want to do it their way now. And they've decided not to use that kind of mortar. Well, you see, mortar's going to have to be used on the brick. Did you know the pyramids were built without mortar? The weight of the stones hold them in place. The hand of God, the power of God. Hold it in place. Whether you like it or not, you're a rock. Now, we're different types of rocks. Some rocks are hard like granite. God says, I want you to do it my way so you can succeed. So you can receive my blessing. And they used tar for mortar. Then they said, listen to this. It's sin of pride. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Woo! We don't need God. We're going to do it for ourselves. We are going to be gods. With a tower that reaches to the heavens. They'll know how to find us. So that we may make a name for ourselves. Me, me, me. I'm not going to go any further. Listen. And not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. That's it. We're not going any further. I know God told us to go and procreate throughout the whole earth. But no, we're losing our identity. Until you lose your human identity, you cannot serve the identity of Christ. Until I became a slave of Christ, I could not serve Christ. It cannot be in my identity. It has to be in His. What do we want? Folks, we're princes. We're princesses. We're the children of a king, the king. And He says, go, and I will bless you. But the pride of our heart has deceived us, folks. For we want to do it with our own name. And when you do it in your own name, you're doing it for your own purpose. What does your church have to offer me and my family? Not a thing other than Jesus. Not a thing other than His word, His truth, His love, His hope. What do you want? Will you feed me? I'll feed you kids if they're hungry. You can sit out there if you can work. I have watched and witnessed so much of parents refusing to be parents in this generation. Their children are hungry, but they're starving for love and affection and for a truth, something that's solid. In Obadiah, verse 3, there's only one chapter to Obadiah. 22 verses. Verse 3 says, and God is speaking, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who said to yourselves, who can bring me down to the ground? Listen, America. Listen, world. When the Christians get back on their knees, there's not a world power throughout the world united together that can touch them. None. But we're witnessing our churches crumbling. Christianity in the ditch of life itself. People saying, I no longer need someone else. Let us build a name for ourselves. How about letting us stick to the name of Jesus? It's already built. Solid foundation. Solid rock. So man's generational sin is pride. Remains pride, doesn't it? Then God's generational visit, I wanted you to see. Woo! It's God's place, folks. He can come down anytime He wants to. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to come back. He's here. Is He not in your heart? Is the kingdom of God not within you? Do we not understand that Jesus left from the human threshold, but He sent His Spirit to indwell us? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm here. Listen to Genesis 11, verse 5. Here they are. We made our decision. This is the way it's going to be. And because we made our decision, and this is the way that it's going to be, I want you to know that nobody gonna tell us what to do, man said. Then God came down. Now, you don't want to get caught smarting off to God when God comes down. Listen to his word. Genesis 11:5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. What's the Lord going to see about what you're building? Is he going to see you building a big bank account? Oh, you know, I just got to make certain that I have this and I have that because I don't know what tomorrow brings. You're right, you don't. And I can tell you right now, I don't care what you got, it ain't enough. You better hope God gets involved. Put him first. How do I do that? The Lord has come down. He's come to us as individuals. Ask him what we need to do. Tell him about our problems. Trust his answers. He's got a book full of them. And he will explain it to you as an individual. Because he's come down and he's paid a visit. Wonder what he sees today in America. What does it do to God's heart when he walks or drives through the cities in America and sees all the empty churches and the buildings have been turned into bars or some other business where the Word of God used to be preached? Whatever became of God's man? Whatever happened to individuals that had character and just stood because it's the right thing to do? And Jesus says, stand. I can do no less. Jesus says, preach. I can do no less. You see, that's not my job, trying to figure people out or why they don't do something or why they do. That's not my job. My calling is to preach, not to wipe a bunch of noses or to worry about somebody's feelings. It's to tell the world the truth. Jesus is getting ready to pay a visit. Do you think he doesn't see, hear, and witness? When he looks at us, who does he see? The Christian we say we are, or the one we want others to think we are? Because we next fall under God's generational judgment. There's no generation that's ever existed that did not end up in judgment of God. No generation. Were you talking about that final big judgment? Folks, I'm talking about your life. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to come. Let me tell you something. When you leave that body, the Lord has come for you. You got it? That's it for you. I can't preach anymore after that. I will have been given chance after chance after chance to preach God's word. And if I haven't, my fault. It's on me. But he says you only have a generation here, Larry. You don't have to be there very long. I'll get you out of that mess soon. Don't you worry about that. But right now, warn them. Obadiah verse 4. Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Think you're going to fly higher than God? That any nation is going to fly higher than God? That any authority supersedes God's authority? No. It's generational. Read the history. Every generation that has ever went against God has lost. Everyone. And every generation that's ever stood for the Lord suffered. They were talked about. They were beheaded. You're seeing it in our generation. Did you ever think you'd see the beheadings ever again? Or the crucifixions because a person is a Christian? Did you ever think you would ever see that again? I thought it was just in the history books. So this generation is making history again. We're not making it, we're repeating it. I don't know any more that I could ask for than to know that I'm saved and that I'm going to glory when I leave this body. But I got a job to do. I got preaching to take care of. I have a calling, and I will follow that calling as long as I can stand and speak to do it. That's the charge on each generation. Larry, I'll not blame you for what went wrong. I will not bring that to your charge. I want you to do what I've called you to do. I'll take care of all the rest. I like that about my Lord. It's individual. You're an individual Christian. Do what he tells you to do. Because when you do, it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for your word, for your truth, for your hope, for the greatest nation that's ever been known you have allowed us to be a part of. Forgive us, Father, for messing so much stuff up. Give us courage now to stand strong and true to your love and your will. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.